Salut, madame, monsieur et les autres. Bienvenue à That Eurovision Podcast, Eurovision avec le certain aspect de la vie. Je m'appelle Rosie et j'ai bon aujourd'hui. As you may have noticed, I am not Rory, but I backed my French, my GCSE French enough to try and introduce this episode. My apologies to all of our French listeners. I'm doing pretty well, still teaching, so still exhausted from days discussing social theory and the criminal justice system with my students, but otherwise doing pretty well. And joining me?
Jazzy, not done too much today. Just been a quiet, relaxing day so far, and I'm just really looking forward to getting into this. And well done, Rosie, for that French introduction. It's way better than what I could have done.
Tim here. Nothing much happening here. Such a great day, and
wow, what a day for languages. Well done, Rosie. I got a good grade in GCSE, but in French, but that got wiped away, so I can't have done it any better. So well done.
My memory of GCSE French is doing my speaking exam, and we were supposed to be talking about films that we'd seen recently. And I remember going into my friend, I'd recently watched the film version of Rent, as in the musical. And I remember sitting down and talking to my teacher, and I was like, it's about some friends living together in New York and their relationships. And she was like, oh, so it's like Friends. And I was like, not. Because I completely forgot what the word for HIV was. And I couldn't say that it's sadder than Friends. There was just the most awkward silence in the entire exam room.
Non, s'il vous plaît. Non. Salut, c'est Rory. Je suis très bon aussi. Aussi, yeah, ouais. Yeah, my French, I usually am pretty good at French, but once I'm put on the spot and I start speaking French to people, I literally just like, un kilo de pommes, s'il vous plaît? that's all, honestly, if you just say that, that's all you need. But yes.
My French phrase is, je voudrais travailler dans une maison de passe, which means I would like to work in a brothel.
Iconic.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Although, to be fair, there's literally one about 5 minutes away from where I live, so if you want, I can put in a good word.
Thanks.
Oh, dear. But, yes, yeah, so in case you didn't realise from our fantastic language skills, we are going to be talking about France, another Big Five country that we haven't covered yet. And, yeah, France has pretty much been in most of the Eurovisions in all of its participation. I believe there was only a couple of times when it wasn't in there, as far as I know.
Drew in 1974, according to the Wikipedia article that I've got up.
Oh, okay, so that's the only time that France wasn't participating. That's very interesting.
I think so.
Yeah. So that's very good then. So pretty much France has been in Eurovision pretty much every single year since the very first Eurovision, all the way back in 1956. Mm. Their first entry in 1956, because there was two, was Mate Altéri with Le Temps Perdu, which means the forgotten times. And obviously we didn't really know how well it did because we only had a winner. So basically everyone got put in second place. France has also managed to win a total of 5 times, the most recent time being in 1977 with Marie Myriam with L'Oiseau et l'Enfant. And yeah, since then, it's started to waver a little bit, especially within the 21st century. Just to kind of get things going, like, again, we'll do the same thing as we always usually do. Kick things off with a couple of our favourite French entries.
I think my favourite, like, French entries are, like, the ones that are quite, at the beginning of this millennium, like, 2001, Natasha Sampé, Je ne que mon ami, came fourth. A really beautiful song. Like, and then there's Sandro Francois, El Fal di Tams. And then there's 2003, Louisa Baccicelli, Monts et Merveilles. Like, they're all, like, good female ballads, and, like, they're all really high quality. Some will say they all blend into, like, a bit of, like, they're all a bit samey, but, like, I feel like they all have, like, different, like, strengths. Like, obviously in 2003 they didn't do as well as they did the previous 2 years, and maybe it was because they'd already sent two female ballads previous to that, which had similar vibes. But yeah, so they're, like, some of my favorites. And then recently I would say I also really like Amari Vassili, Sognu. I think that's a beautiful song, like, really, really good. And I can see why it was a big favorite to win. I know that a lot of people say his live was a little bit shaky, but I didn't really see anything wrong with it. But I guess maybe that's from somebody who maybe doesn't understand, like, the operatic technical aspect of things. So maybe there was stuff wrong with it that I just didn't hear. And then another one that I really like, again, a really recent entry, 2017, Alma, Requiem. I just think it's a really fun, good song. I do think the original is better than the revamp, and I feel the staging could have been improved on, but I still think the song is really, really good.
Definitely some good choices in there, for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sonyeo particularly. I think it's beautiful. And I have done a little bit of opera training, but my main singing background is theatre. I don't think it was particularly shaky from what I remember. Admittedly, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I don't remember it being that bad. As well as that, in more recent years, Merci by Madame Monsieur. I think it's beautiful. I love the message of it. And I know I mentioned in the Georgia episode about the idea of how political is too political. And I think Mercy is a deeply political song, and yet there wasn't really a huge amount of outcry about it. But I feel like the message it was trying to portray is incredibly important, and I feel like the contest would have been lesser without having that space for it to be performed. Sort of from more fun sides of things, Amir, J'ai cherché, I love how well that blends the English and the French together. I think it's probably my favourite example of that. And if you've seen the Growers and Fallers episode, Amandine Bourgeois' L'Enfer et Moi is my winner of 2013. It's so dark, it's so sexy, it's got fantastic lyrics. I love that sort of powerful feminine energy. I think it's fantastic. The other one I want to give a shout out to, because it's trash, but it's my trash, Le Fatal Picard with L'Amour à la Française.
Oh my god.
It's trash, yeah, but I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's so much fun. It always puts a smile on my face. I can't not love it.
That staging is just pure fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, definitely. I mean, I don't really like the song, but the staging is fantastic.
Oh, I've just remembered one more I want to mention to make it sound like I don't just listen to the new Eurovisions. Old Eurovision song I like, Catherine Ferry's Under Toi. I think it's great.
Oh, which year was that?
1976.
Oh, that's really throwing it back there, isn't it? Ooh.
I recently did a ranking of all of the second places of all time, and I discovered it then, and really, really like it. I think it's really fun. It's got a really neat, interesting sort of musical style. I really like the sort of rhythm of it, and yeah, it's a great song.
Good choice, yeah.
I'm just trying to think, because I'm just looking at the list again. But the thing is, though, I'm going to be very controversial anyways, because my ones are like towards the 21st century, because that's the ones I most lean to. Like, I do watch the previous ones, but, you know, it's really not for me. So I'm going to be cancelled again.
Oh, God. As per.
As per usual.
Yeah.
Take a shot.
There's a few. I'd name about three or four really quickly. The first one was last year's entry, Bilal Hassani with Roa King. I really like the message on it. And, you know, the one lyric that really got to me because of tickets. I'm not rich, but I'm shining bright. It's just literally an ode to how expensive the tickets were to Tel Aviv last year.
Oh,
it was
God.
So funny because, like, when we saw those prices, and so many jokes about Roa came out.
Insert Bilal Hassani just like pissed off pick here.
Yeah. The second one, Rosie already mentioned, Je Cherche. It was the start of a, like, you know, the change for France after years and years and years and years of just like the really bad results. And Amir did that very well. And, you know, he gave France a respectable result. Shame it could have been higher, or he wanted it to be higher, but it is what it is. Third one would be another shout out would be, which one was it? Angoon. Like, poor her. She didn't get anything from the television.
Oh, Angoon.
Like, you know, she might not be here in, like, Europe. Like, you know, she started off in Asia, obviously, and then went to Europe, and then that's when she hit worldwide fame with, like,
Snow on Sahara.
Yeah, but, you know, I applaud her effort, and that's some slick staging. I mean, they were Olympians, weren't they? Like, the people that were, like, on the gymnastics team.
Were they actually Olympians?
I'm not sure. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, or they're just, like,
they just kind of gave off the good vibes, like, as if they were.
Yeah. I mean, like, she was wearing a Jean-Paul Gaultier. I think it was Jean-Paul Gaultier who designed her dress as well. So, like, I'm just blabbering on about how much I like the staging and how much I like it. But, yes, it is what it is. Fourth one that I want to say, like, the fourth entry that I really want to talk about as well is, you know, 2010! Ale, ale, ale!
Ale, ale, ale!
Like, literally.
Tune.
Like, I was so gutted this got a really bad result. Like,
12th!
Like, I would have had it as top 10. Like, you know, I still think that it was a bit underrated. Like,
ooh, well,
didn't this end up like a song for, like, Football Cup or something?
I think it was like the World
It was like
Cup
a candidate for it.
I think it was used to promote the FIFA World Cup in France.
Ah.
Like, you know, 12th. I mean, respectable, but, like, you know, it became a summer hit. Like, it was other than Satellite in 2010, that was one of the songs that I keep listening to this day that's from France. Like, ale, ale, ale. Like,
ale, ole, ole. Ole.
Like, and then a bum ba dum ba dum bum ba dum ba.
Oh, my God.
But and one final thing, I know I've bambled on so much, I will give one shout out because they've done so poorly in the contest. I just want to give them, like, a little bit of love. Twin Twin.
Oh, yes. Twin Twin.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see, like, Twin Twin. You know, sorry, go on.
I want to have a mustache. Like, I want, like, I know I won't have, but I'll just sing a little bit.
Aww.
I am a huge proponent of the mustaches underrated camp.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But, like,
I don't think it served last place.
Yeah, that was a bit of a mess. But I will give them I will give them some love on that one.
Oh no, honestly, Twin Twin definitely didn't deserve last place. Not when Russia's right there, but you know. No, but
Who are also twin twins.
Oh God. I didn't think about that. Shit. But fun fact, Twin Twin have very much diversified their sound now, and there are a lot more sort of grime music now and urban music, so it's completely different to Mustache. So it's kind of nice to see artistic progression, you know? For me, I really like a lot of France's songs, but for me, they kind of really come into their own in the sort of 1990s. First off, just to give a big shout out to Marie Myriam, just anyway, because, you know, she's the current reigning French winner, so that's fantastic. And hopefully France will be able to get another win sometime soon, because that'd be fantastic. But yeah, for me, most of the songs that I really like kind of come after the after 1990. So, for example, Amina, C'est la dernière qui a parlé qui a raison. Absolutely fantastic song. The fact that it tied for the win with Carola in 1991, I really think France should have won that year, because it was far more original and far more interesting than Carola was, Fight Me. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I thought a lot of the songs was really nice, and it really honoured her heritage as well, and I thought that was really nice, because Amina is originally from Tunisia. Either Tunisia or Algeria. It's North Africa for sure. Other kind of ones to go on for is, I know it's kind of a bit of an underrated one, but 1994, Nina Morato, Je suis un vrai garçon. If you've not heard of it, it's a really good song. It's kind of folk poppy, and she's basically, you know, saying, oh, some days are really hard, but, you know, you just kind of have to work through them. Another fun fact, this is also the first time, really, that we have some form of swearing in a Eurovision song, because they use the word putain, which is essentially the French version for fuck. So it's quite interesting, that, actually. I definitely give that one a listen to if you have never heard of it before. It's actually quite a good song. And then kind of more recent songs, I really like Ouale from 1998. Completely underrated. Can't believe it got, like, I think it came like second last or third last or something like that.
Rory, are you saying that these are more recent despite the fact that you weren't even born in 1998?
I was minus 1 year old. I was there. I mean, I don't know. I might have been there at the time. I don't know. but no, like, okay, more 21st century ones. I have to give shout outs to, you know, Amir, Alma, Madame Monsieur. I think that was a fantastic run of good songs. Angoon as well. Angoon was my number one from 2012. So of course I'm going to have a lot of love for Echo, You and I. And it's not just for the fact that, you know, the music video just had a lot of men in their underwear. I swear it's not that. Yeah, and then also Lisa Angèle, N'oubliez pas, that was a moment, and I think the running order definitely shafted her. I feel like if she performed a little bit later on in the running order, maybe, like, you know, the golden spots, so between, you know, 17 and 22, I think she would have done so much better than what she did. And then as well as that, I have to give two special shout-outs, because no one else seems to talk about them. 2008, Sébastien Tellier with Divine. And that was kind of I remember that it was a lot of there was a big drama about it, because that was the first time that there was more English in the song than there was French. And France, ooh, as we all know, is incredibly stubborn about using any other language but English. And it even got so far as to get into the French Parliament. So it's really kind of interesting. And then as well as that, I have to give one quick last shout out to Patricia Cass, as Issy Fallait Le Faire, 2009. For me, that is the most quintessentially French song that you could ever come across. And I love that song. I think it's so interesting. And the fact that it came eighth, I think, is ridiculous. But yeah, she should have done top five, but, you know, again, there's a lot of memory in that, because in case you didn't realize, Patricia Cass, she normally would never sing on I think it was May the 16th. So she would never sing on May the 16th, because that was the day that her mother died. However, she couldn't take an opportunity like Eurovision off. She couldn't say no to it, so she made the one exception for Eurovision, and she got eighth place out of it. So I think that in itself is fantastic.
And like looking at the results like around that time, that was a really good result for France.
Oh yeah, I mean they were kind of stuck at the bottom for a long time for sure. But yeah, just kind of maybe looking at sort of the run of things. Obviously, France has kind of started off doing a national selection again after sort of a good few years of kind of internal selections with varying degrees of results, more so on the bottom half of things. And then obviously with 2020, we went, so from 2018 and 2019, we had Destination Eurovision, and they had middle of the table results, and then we went back to an internal selection with Tom Lib. So do you think, and that was pretty much universally panned, so do you think maybe Eurovision...
I wouldn't say universally.
Do you want me to bring out the receipts, hun? No. But yeah, do you think that, you know, maybe going back to an internal selection wasn't the right idea, or do you think that they should have sort of carried on with the Destination Eurovision?
I really liked Destination Eurovision format. It worked really well from them. Even though with the fact that, you know, in 2018 and 2019, it kind of saw, like, it was the start of, like, the decrease, and, like, of them going down the leaderboard again. But, you know, it was an entry that was a lot. It was entries that were loved by the Eurovision fandom. And the fact that international juries and the French people had a say on it is a really big thing, because it means that, you know, everyone's partially responsible for the entry that was selected in the first place. I mean, imagine what happened in 2019 when they were like, nope, we're not going to send Bilal, and then boom, 150 points.
Just kind of
I was so happy that 150 points came in.
See, that was quite an interesting battle that was between sort of Simone and Bilal, because obviously, like, Simone was very much that sort of French chanteuse, kind of singing a sort of really emotional, dark song about, you know, her father, and then you just had Bilal, which is like completely, like the complete antithesis to that. So it's kind of, you couldn't have gotten two more polarizing songs.
Mm-hmm. Saying that, I think Bilal is one of the best people to have happened to the Eurovision Song Contest in years. I think he's fantastic.
Like, he lives and breathes the contest. Like, I remember, I think I saw him commenting on Conchita's winning performance on the official page. And he also, like, when he, after his performance to live, I think I saw him comment, say thank you for, like, the nice comment he did. Because I'm, after his, like, after his performance in, like, Tel Aviv, I was just like, I was really gutted he didn't do any better. But I was really, I got to, like, speak to him and just say, look, really good, your performance really great. Can't wait to see what you'll do in the future. Like, he's still out there, he's still got his fan base, still releasing new music, so kind of.
And he was in the Eurovision movie.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
So essentially that's like his like main dream that's just kind of come true then, you know, all in the space of a year.
Mm-hmm. And he's younger than we are.
No need to remind us.
Don't need to remind us, Rosie.
Yeah. We know we're old.
When we're old. My favourite of Bilal's videos is the one that he did where he did little short clips of himself dancing to all of the other entries. Well, no, including Ra as well, did a clip of him sort of miming and dancing along to all of the entries in 2019, and I get so much happiness watching that over and over again.
Oh, aww. No, I remember when he went to Ukraine, and he was really happy that Maru won, and he did like a little snippet of it on Instagram stories, and I was really gutted because Maru and Bilal didn't see each other afterwards, like, no.
But in the end, they didn't. But, yeah, so, like, what do we think of, like, just, like the format of Destination Eurovision?
It's a good format because, you know, we get fresh music. And from the artists that we've had in the two editions that it did happen, we managed to see a variety of upcoming French artists to kind of like open their eyes a bit more and our ears.
Our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our nose.
I think Destination Eurovision was really, really good, and I do think they should have gave it like a few more years to see like whether they were going to get results out of it, because they weren't getting terrible results out of it. It was more mid-table. However, I don't think Destination Eurovision was the issue, because I feel like these entries were picked to do a lot better, and then we saw the stagings of them when they got to like the final Eurovision, and some people say they were a little bit underwhelming. I was personally fine with them. But yeah, it seems to be like a little bit of a run of things with France in general, that once they get to Eurovision, the staging maybe isn't what fans expect. And maybe that's why they're not getting the televote points that fans, again, also think they should be getting. So maybe it's a disconnect. However, I do think Roy was an improvement on previous years. So again, I'm not really sure what happened there. But yeah, I think they should have given Destination Eurovision a more of a chance to like get working, rather than just dropping it when they came 16th.
It'll be interesting to see what they come up with next year, because they've said that they're going back to a national final format. But I don't know whether that will be bring back Destination Eurovision or whether it will be something completely different. And because I'm still relatively new to watching national final formats, I didn't really watch much of the original two seasons of it. But I'm very happy with the winners that they had for both of them. So clearly they're doing something right.
True, yeah. I mean,
I feel like they almost have to go back to a national selection, because I don't think they could go higher without the Eiffel Tower again for the contest to get cancelled.
Oh, no. Do you know what, though? If they did decide to go back to an internal selection, do you know who my first port of call, my first refusal I'd give to would be? You!
Oh, I can't believe he's not doing this.
Elodie Guasson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like you were saying, Rosie, they're actually going back to a national selection now next year. But it's not called Destination Eurovision, it's called Eurovision, c'est vous qui décidez. I mean, that sounds just as fun, doesn't it? Eurovision, it's you who decides.
Oh, wow, original. Wow.
Yeah, incredibly. Incredibly original. No one else has ever come up with that name before, ever. But
that fills me with loads of hope.
No, I mean, let's be real. France does everything with a lot more class than the UK does. So, like, it should be fine. But now, what I'd love to, like, ask, though, is obviously, we don't want to be purporting stereotypes or anything like that on this podcast, because that's not usually what we do. But this one is kind of a bit true, with the exception of two years, every song that France has sent to Eurovision has been in French. The only exceptions were in 1996, when they sang in Breton, and 2011, when they sang purely in Corsican. So
it's pseudo-French.
There's still basically parts of French in there, but I guess it's more so of a celebration of different regions of the area. Because, you know, we still, in other years, we had Antillean Sorole, like in 1992. We also had Spanish in 2004. Obviously, we've had English in different entries as well. So do we think that France just needs to send a song that's, like, completely, like, in English in order for it to kind of do well at the moment? Because, you know, when you look at the results in the 21st century, it's not been a great run, you know?
I feel like instead of sending something in English, I feel like they need to get their message across a bit more. One of my big pet peeves with a song like Mercy is that the lyrics are so powerful and so beautiful, and the music video is so great at portraying the story of the song, but that didn't translate to stage. And I feel like if they'd found a way to bring more of those themes and ideas to the stage performance, I think the message would have gotten across more. So it's less a case of making sure it's in English, but more making sure that people understand what the song is about. I feel like their best score of the decade, Je Cherche, is so good at that, and it blends the languages so nicely. And their worst score of the decade, Moustache, which I absolutely love, was often a song that would be sort of dismissed as a joke entry, where actually it's quite a powerful commentary on capitalism and consumerism, and that's one of the reasons I like it so much. But I think that got lost in it, and therefore it didn't do very well.
Mm. Like, it just got lost as like a fun dance bop entry. So, like, and sometimes they do well and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. In Moustache's case, they didn't.
For me, I think they just need to work well on the song. Not necessarily mean send it fully in English. I've mentioned this previously in a podcast, in the podcast somewhere. I think maybe they can work the language into their advantage. Kind of like, you know, like maybe use the French as a hook. Mm. Might be difficult, but there is a way. Look at Polyganova.
Well, that's it. You know, like...
Yeah.
An
example, you can be modern and still stay true to your culture and language.
Mm. And it's interesting you kind of say that, that it needs to kind of work it into like a hook or something. Because pretty much with Bilal and Tom's, when The Best in Me got revamped, you know, there was a lot of French in there, but the hook and the chorus was in English. So that was like the hook itself. So maybe the best thing is to kind of invert that, because that might make it a bit good. Because, well, you know, if we compare, for example, like J'ai cherché with Roi, J'ai cherché, it was upbeat, it was contemporary, it had the mixture of the two songs, of the two languages, it blended the two together so well, and it didn't feel like it was forced or anything. But compare it to, you know, Hua or The Best in Me, it felt it was a bit more kind of forced in, you know? And it needs to be a little bit more, again, authentic, you know? Like, it needs to feel like as if, like, the English needs to be in there. Or, like, you know, it was meant to be there, as opposed to, you know, sticking it in for the sake of, you know, trying to do well at Eurovision, as well we saw with Requiem. Because Requiem was fully in French beforehand, and then they added the English, and a lot of people saw that to, you know, downgrade the song.
Like, I would agree with that.
I think with Requiem, it was like the transition to English and French was quite jarring, as we'd already heard the initial version, which we all think was a lot better. Requiem did pretty well at the televoters, but the jury didn't like it. So again, maybe they thought the transition was jarring as well. And maybe if they'd kept it all in French, they would have had a better jury result. Although with Requiem, I do have an issue with the staging just being a bit flat.
No, but did you know that they're French?
You would never know.
The Eiffel Tower to show you that they are French.
No. Do you know what I thought that was the Tokyo Sky Tower? Honestly, ridiculous. but yeah, I mean, it's very interesting just to kind of look at the, like, the different sort of styles that they've taken as well, you know, because in the last 10 years, you know, we've had you know, Afro pop, we've had kind of blues, we've had opera, we've had just bubblegum pop, we've had sort of French pop. So it, like, do we, like, do, what do we think should be done in order to kind of get France back up to kind of J'ai cherché levels of hype? Because we don't really seem to have that much hype for France anymore.
I definitely think the staging team needs an improvement upon. I do think that the last 3 years, there has been a little bit of a disconnect between the staging, the song, and the performance, and maybe that's why the juries aren't loving their songs. I think with Mercy that there was a disconnect, because I think Mercy's quite a well-known like phrasing, like from French to English, is just saying thank you, and because the staging didn't portray what the song was actually about, everyone would have just assumed they were saying thank you and not seen the deeper meaning within the song. So I definitely think a couple of backdrops would have been helpful.
I think I remember there was a correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I seem to remember there was a bit of a disagreement between France Television and Madame Monsieur's record label about how they should be staging the song. And so they ultimately came to a compromise, so they kind of did both bits at once. So mm-hmm. The first verse and the first chorus was the broadcaster, and then the second verse and then to the end of the song was the record label. And I guess that kind of shows that it was a little bit messy, I guess, than itself. I can't really remember if that was like exactly how that went down, but I do remember there was a bit of drama to do with Madame Monsieur.
Like, they weren't happy with how France's vision for the staging. I know that.
Yeah.
I can't. For me, it's more of, it's a trial and error. I think they need to be more brave in, like, you know, being more open-minded as to how they select their entry. I mean, obviously, there's the national selection, so it shows that, you know, they tried to go back to internal. It really didn't work. It wasn't didn't get a positive reception towards it. So, you know, they're going back to what they've known will, you know, be positively received by the audiences. And it's also the fact that, like, you know, it can also, like, make sure that the blame is not fully on them. So, like, you know, if the audience had a say on it, you can say, like, look, we only, the jury's only selected half. The other half was with the rest of you. It's like, if you wanted another artist, you should have voted.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of, like, fed into the whole, like, Bilal versus Simone thing. Like, there was, like, so adamant on having, like, either of those two go. Like, it almost got to a point where, like, none of the other artists cared. Which is a shame, though, because, Destination Eurovision, both in 2018 and 2019, had really, really good songs. Like, the quality was really, really good. But, yeah, I think for me, a lot of it just has to come down to the staging and the presentation of the songs. Because a lot of the time, like, they have very high-quality songs. You know, we've seen this, especially from 2016 onwards. And even, you know, 2010, 2012, 2013, like, they were strong songs. It's just the staging that let them down. So I think if they were a little bit more focused on how they want to kind of just, you know, present the artist and present the song in a way that kind of envelops you into the song, because I feel like a lot of the time it's very empty. It's a big problem with France, is that they kind of just, they don't spend a lot on props. And it's not to say that money means everything, but, you know, sometimes, you know, more than just three gymnasts doing some somersaults would, you know, be kind of nice, you know. But yeah, I think as well, you know, it's not as if, like, French music isn't known worldwide. We have so many French artists as well that have, like, been well known across, like, just the world. You know, most recently, you know, sort of Tal, Maître Gims, Christine and the Queens, all of these have had, like, some degree of success, like, internationally. I can see France potentially going down the road of the UK, where it's like, oh, if we sent our most famous singer, we still wouldn't win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it would never get to that stage, because I feel like France is a little too proud to admit when they're wrong, or something like that, but, you know, we can only hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just to kind of, also, just a quick thing as well, do remember that in 2016 up to 2019, or was it 2018, we also had a new head of delegation, as well for France, Eduardo Grassi, who kind of revitalized the contest, especially in France, because, you know, beforehand it was getting very dull and drab, whereas this time they were, like, injecting a little bit of, like, youth into it. So maybe we should get Eduardo Grassi back in? Because, honestly, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, just to kind of like kind of wrap things up, like, okay, two questions. If you were hosting Eurovision France, and if we do ever get to Eurovision having being hosted in France, A, would you have it in English or French? And B, which iconic French monument in Paris or something else would you choose to have as the iconic backdrop for France during their spokesperson?
That's a hard one.
What was the first question again?
The first one would be if Eurovision was being hosted in France, would you have it in French or English?
Oh, have it both. That's a standard.
Well, yes, but I mean, for example, in 1989, when it was in Lausanne in Switzerland, they were mostly spoken French.
I mean, if the French and English rule didn't exist, I wouldn't mind it in French, just because I can understand it, but most of Europe would be going, what on earth? And then the commentators would be going crazy, which is basically a recipe for disaster, but I would like to see it. And for the...
see them try it in French.
Yeah. And for the iconic background, you know, it wouldn't be Eurovision without the Eiffel Tower in the background. unless they want to change, then I accept the Louvre.
Okay, the Louvre's a nice... That's a nice switch up.
What if the Louvre, with the Eiffel Tower projected on it?
Oh, God. You really wouldn't be able to figure out where it was then, would you? At all?
I personally would like to see the chaos of it all hosted in French. I'd like to see Graham Norton trying to translate everything for us. I think it would be hilarious. But I could understand, like, the logistics of it. They probably would host mainly in English and then just do the French translations, but the French translations would just be a lot more smoother.
True.
And again, I don't think we could ever get rid of the Eiffel Tower.
We're all conditioned. We're all brainwashed.
I mean, France at Eurovision plus the Eiffel Tower is basically just a meme at this point.
That's very true. And if it was anything but the Eiffel Tower, then I think everyone would be like, what?
I think that has happened before. I don't know when, but I think wasn't like the Louvre in the background.
Yeah, it was like 2015 or something. I feel like it might have been 2015 when they had it in front of the Louvre. Don't quote me on that, though. I know it might have been like maybe 2014 or something like that. Yeah, for me, I'd love to see it being hosted entirely in French, just so I could, like, see everyone who doesn't speak French be all like, what's he saying? What? Huh? Huh? I think that would be quite funny, but obviously, like, logistically, when you have more countries that use English as a common language or a lingua franca than French, then obviously... Maybe there needs to be a little bit more extra thing. But it's just funny just to listen to French people try and be like, hello and welcome to the 66 Eurovision Song Contest. You know, like, it's like, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Imagine how much they'd hate themselves while they do it.
Yes, because French people hate English. They wouldn't even bother learning it. Do you know, oh my God, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see it. And then, if it was me, I'd love to do maybe the Arc de Triomphe, because that's kind of quintessentially French as well. But again, if it was impossible, maybe have the Arc de Triomphe with the Eiffel Tower in the middle of that, or the Louvre in the middle of that with the Eiffel Tower on top of that. There you go. That's like French overload.
We can't get rid of the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. It's just impossible at this stage. but yeah, do we have any sort of like final points on La France before we finish?
Stream Bim Bam Toi.
Oh, Bim Bam Toi.
Oh,
it's
my
probably
God.
The only junior Eurovision song I've ever actually cared enough about to listen to.
Oh no. You can't say that when literally exists.
I've never heard it.
Ridiculous.
You can't say that if Jamais Sans Toi is right over there.
I don't listen to junior Eurovision.
See, you need to, because some of the songs are actually pretty good.
I'll make an effort this year.
Okay.
It's literally like the, how do I say this?
Oh God, here we go.
I think it could pass as a Eurovision song.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah, like, that's how highly I think of France in junior, is that their songs could have actually passed on as a Eurovision song, and they could have done better.
They are really good.
And really catchy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're totally different to what they sent to Eurovision as well, because, like, the last two, like, junior Eurovision songs have been, like, really fun, happy-go-lucky pop songs. Mm-hmm. We rarely see that being delivered in the actual adult Eurovision. I know they're kids, but, like, there is still happy, upbeat songs in adult Eurovision, but France never seem to send them.
Makes sense, yeah.
And it's something that they obviously really, really succeed with in junior, because I think they've had 2 top 5 results so far.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've only ever taken part in it about 3 times or something, so, you know, it's interesting to see that the dissonance is what we were talking about in the Georgia episode, you know, between the lack of success in adult Eurovision, but the actual real success being seen at the junior contest. But yeah, do we have any other sort of final points?
Let's see what you've got for 2021.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. Yeah, so alors, nous sommes arrivés au fini à cet épisode de That Eurovision podcast. Je tiens à remercier Jazzy, Rosie et Tim pour me... Ajouter? No, that's not the right word. I don't know. I was gonna try and do the whole outro in French, but I was like, okay, let's not do that. But yeah, I'd really like to thank Jazzy, Rosie, and Tim just for coming to France and, you know, trying to, like, make ourselves not completely terrible to French people, because, you know, how French people are, they're like, to anything that's, like, not French. And yeah.
You've just said goodbye to our entire French listenership.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, je suis désolé. Please, you know, forgive me. Yes, we are. Please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at That Euro Podcast. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So please do continue to follow us on there, so you always get notified for whenever a new episode comes out. Also, if you have any sort of opinions on what we were talking about, please do get involved on social media. We're active all the time. So, in the next couple of episodes, we'll be having a few other countries in. We also have a few other surprises lined up as well, so we're really looking forward to sharing them with you. And, shall we all say au revoir?
Au revoir!
Au revoir! Au revoir.